Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Those who promote liberalism like to say that man cannot say who will be lost. They say, leave the destiny of people to God. To say who shall be lost is to judge, and we cannot play God like that. Well, friend, this is so deceptive, it is so misleading. If the liberal is consistent with his words, he cannot say what is sinful. He can't say what is wrong. He cannot say what is a violation of God's law. Sin is a transgression of law, God's law, 1 John 3 and verse 4, and we all sin, Romans 3 and verse 23, and sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and the wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. Why am I wrong to say that those who do such things that violate God's law are in sin and therefore are lost? Has not God already decreed it to be so? Are we in error to teach people what God has said? If we cannot judge anybody, why does the liberal judge those with whom he differs, even on this point? Does he not violate his own rule, even as mistaken as his rule is? What reason would there be to reprove and rebuke, as Paul commanded, unless it is to condemn that which is wrong, and warn those who do wrong and who sin that they are lost? We do not violate the teaching regarding judging to teach what God has already judged and condemned. To fail to do so is to judge God, saying that God is wrong and has no right to say what is wrong. Well, we're not in the line-drawing business, but we are in the business of pointing out the lines that God has already drawn. Can't you see the difference there? When God says certain things are sinful, and that those who do them are lost, God is the one who has judged, not man. Man is simply teaching God's will. If ever a person is guilty of playing God, it's when he says we cannot teach what God says. It is not a manifestation of hatred of others to condemn evil, it's a manifestation of hatred of error. This is what we're supposed to do. We're told to abhor that which is evil. God hates the false way. Why should not those of us who love Him and follow His will do what He says? Some have become so tolerant of sin, so loving, that they outlove God. And while it is true that we're forbidden to judge another's heart and motive, for we do not have that ability, we can test fruit that has been borne. We are to warn of sin. We are to condemn sin. We are to tell our fellow man that sin will mean hell unless it is forgiven. To do otherwise would be to discount, disregard, dismiss the authority of God, and that's liberalism. Judge righteous judgment is a direction from Christ in John 7 and verse 24. How inconsistent is that liberal who tells you that you are condemned when you condemn? Some are so afraid of hurting the feelings of others that they run roughshod over the will of Christ. We tell you that those who are not Christians, faithfully serving Him, cannot be saved in that state. Will the liberal challenge that? If so, by what authority does he challenge that? Friend, it is also liberalism to offer to give up truth for the sake of unity. I once read a question that a preacher was asked. He said, "What are you willing to sacrifice for unity's sake?" Now, he added that truth should not be given up, but only matters of opinion. Well, I think with this we all can agree. But then he proceeded to name a few things he would give up, such as calling the Church of Christ, and opposition to the use of instruments of music in worship, matters of faith and revelation, not mere matters of human opinion, as he had suggested. And when he was asked, as I did ask, why give up calling the Church of Christ the Church of Christ, he told me that everybody claims to be the Church of Christ. Well, so what? Everybody may claim to be George Washington, but that does not mean that they are. Everybody may claim to be millionaires, but it takes more than the claim. When asked if it is scriptural to refer to the church as the Church of Christ, he said it was, but still he would give it up if it would bring unity with others. And with whom could it bring unity? It would only accommodate those who wear names not found in Scripture and who show no respect for speaking as the oracles of God. Shall we seek unity with such as those at the price of the revealed truth? There obviously exists an element, even in the church, that we must think unity is the ultimate goal of everything. Friend, that is not so. We can be united one with the other and be far removed from being pleasing to God. Unity in error characterizes many religious people. Only unity based on truth is the unity that God wants. To compromise and to give up truth just to get along with somebody is to sacrifice God's will for human fellowship, and we're not at liberty to do that. The so-called dialogues into which some have involved themselves are not really unity efforts at all, but efforts to have fellowship with each other in spite of division. Those that want unity can have it when they all follow the truth. To seek unity but disregard authority, friend, that is liberalism. The liberal also confuses the question of whether God answers a sinner's prayer by confusing the difference between an alien sinner and a Christian who sins. When asked, "Does God hear a sinner's prayer?" one so-called scholar said, "I hope so, because we all sin." Now, this is an example of the duplicity of teaching characteristic of liberals. We do not doubt that Christians sin, 1 John 1, 8 and 10. But children of God have the privilege of prayer, and the promise of being heard, and the assurance of God's answer that those who are not in Christ simply do not have. God is not the spiritual father of those who are not in Christ. The alien is not his spiritual child. He does not sustain the same relationship with God as the Christian. Even the one who sins. That God is aware of all things, even all prayers, we would certainly not doubt. He took note of the prayer of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Now, if that is what is meant by hearing and answering prayer, we could agree. But the one out of Christ has no line of communication with God as yet. He's an alien. He's lost. He's severed from God by sin. To give an answer to the question such as the liberal cited above would give is to think there's no difference between the Christian and the one who has never become a Christian. It is simply to thrust a false idea that God answers the prayers of sinners. Those that contend otherwise need to show it by biblical authority and not be evasive and deceitful in their statements. Liberals teach it is acceptable to have choruses and solos as well as congregational singing. Recently we read where some even now contend there's no authority for congregational singing. And you know they say this to try to make way for the use of the mechanical instrument of music, admitting there is no authority for it. And even if they are right, and they are not, they would only have proved that we do two things that are unauthorized rather than proving instruments or choirs to be right. But the New Testament teaching does authorize congregational singing, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, but it does not authorize solos and choirs. All are commanded to sing, and in the singing we teach and admonish one another. When the choir or the soloist sings, who is being taught and admonished by the hearers? How can it be said that they are doing what singing is supposed to accomplish? Now, never think that liberals will not reach out for some kind of reason to justify what they want to do, regardless of how foolish their so-called reasoning is. One contended for choirs on the basis that when the congregation sings, not everyone sings anyway. He also said that having a choir is no different from singing songs where one part sings for a moment, possibly a line or a phrase, and the other parts remain momentarily quiet, awaiting their part to be applicable to them. This man teaches in one of the colleges operated by our brethren. Can you imagine what the young who sit in his classes must get from him? Anybody who cannot see the difference between some singing and others never singing, as in choir presentations, and songs where each one sings his or her part, just simply does not want to see. Nobody is forbidden to sing when different parts are sung. That is not true when only choirs are to perform. The fact that some do not sing, which is an error on their part, does not justify incorporating that error into common and acceptable practice. Liberals will say most anything to find excuse to do what they've already decided they want and will do, regardless of the authority of God. One of our so-called scholars in a Bible department and in a lectureship said the people from the Christian church should be accepted into full fellowship without rejecting the instrument of music, and even without acknowledging that it is wrong to use it, if they would only promise not to cause any trouble over it. He said, try to teach them, but if they cannot see it, it's better to accept them anyway. Can you believe this? Can you see the Apostle Paul teaching in Ephesus to accept brethren who still serve Diana if they promise not to cause any trouble over it? Do you really think sin can be overlooked if you just can't see it? How many other things of the will of God can we push aside if people just can't see it? Friend, that's liberalism that has blossomed and gone to seed. Those who have heard, believed, and obeyed the gospel are added to the Lord's church. But you never read of anybody doing these things in order to become a member of a denomination. When those in the church preach and practice error, they are to come out from that error, repent of that error, cease to practice that error, not just promise not to make trouble over it. They cannot hold to false views just because they can't see it. Do we take the same attitude toward other sins like lying and stealing and adultery, the ignoring of the Lord's Supper? Well, I suppose some might, but it is a wrong approach toward correcting false ways. When you realize that many young people and congregations are hearing this sort of thing and going along with that sort of thing, is it any wonder that those who know and love the truth contend that liberalism is a hideous danger to the church? In additional lessons concerning liberalism, which I hope you'll have the opportunity to hear, we're going to discuss some modern evils like the modern lascivious dance and social drinking, the immodest dress, profanity, other forms of worldliness. We shall discuss the flippant and irreverent terms that are used by some in prayer with reference to God, and even theistic evolution. The contention that there is no specific or exclusive day to partake of the Lord's Supper. Many are the inroads of liberalism among brethren, and some care. Tragically, most do not seem to know the difference between right and wrong, and many of those have no intention of learning because they don't care. I hope that you are among the number that will search the Scriptures, that from the Scriptures you will learn what is so. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.